Good morning, and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. This is a festive day, a day of celebration. This morning, we are excited that Fellowship of Hope Mennonite Church is worshiping here with us as we celebrate and give thanks for our Mennonite Voluntary Service Unit, sponsored by both of our congregations. You'll notice more voices, more instruments. We give thanks for more faces, more struggles, more laughter, more heartache, more harmony, which will be shared here today in worship of Jesus Christ. Whether you're here for the first time or you're here every week, we're glad you're here, and we invite you to enter into this time of worship.
Your blue hymnals to number 114. 114. And I invite you to stand in body or in spirit.
If you'll take your green book, Sing the Journey, and turn to 125 in the back, and we will use those texts as our call to worship. Number 125 in Sing the Journey. God of all kindness, we thank you for the many ways your love enters our lives. You have filled our mouths with laughter and our tongues with singing. Accept our sacrifice of song in your church on earth, and grant us a part in the music of your church in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. May our worship today give glory to you, Lord, and pull back the curtain between this life and the next. May we glimpse the heavenly banquet. May we touch your garment's hem. May we dwell in your kingdom this day. Amen.
Number 28 in Prairie Street Sings, number 28. Is 75. We will sing verse 1 and 3 in English, and then on the page next to it, verse 1 and 3 in Spanish.
Thank you.
in Sing the Journey, the Green Spiral Bound book. If you join me at number 131 in the back. Merciful God, we have not loved you with our whole heart, nor our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive what we have been, accept us as we are, and guide what we shall be. Listen to God's words of compassion. I taught you to walk and lifted you like an infant to my cheek. How can I give you up? I am the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. Sisters and brothers, rise up. Because of God's great love for you, and God's rich mercy for all, you are fully forgiven. May we live as those who are truly loved and truly forgiven through the gift of God's grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please greet one another with a sign of Christ's peace. We invite the children to come forward now for children's time.
Welcome. We're talking about buckets today, and I understand Prairie Street filled buckets last week or recently. So this book story is about buckets. A little bit different maybe than what you did, but it has the same result. What? Oh, I forgot. I'm not used to this. So the relief kits, the offering is for the relief kits. And that's the basket, the buckets you filled.
That's the bucket that we unpacked last week.
Right. Thank you. So this is called, Have You Filled a Bucket Today? All day long, everyone in the whole world walks around carrying a bucket. Each of us in this room and others have buckets. You can't see it. It's invisible. You have a bucket, and everyone in your family has a bucket. Your grandparents, your family, your friends, people you don't know, they all have buckets. Your bucket has only one purpose. Its purpose is to hold your good thoughts and your good feelings about yourself. When you feel happy and good, when your bucket is full, well, start over. You feel happy and good when your bucket is full, and you feel sad when it's empty. Other people feel the same way. They're happy when their buckets are full, and they're sad when their buckets are empty. It's great to have a full bucket, and this is how it works. Other people can fill your bucket, and you can fill theirs. You can fill your own bucket, too. So let's see how this works. You fill a bucket when you show kindness, when you show love to somebody, when you say or do something kind, even when you give somebody a smile. That's being a bucket filler. We all know how to smile. A bucket filler is a loving, caring person who says and does nice things to make others feel special. When you treat others with kindness and respect, you fill their buckets. But you can also dip into a bucket and take out some of the good feelings. You dip into a bucket when you make fun of somebody or when you say mean things. That's bucket dipping. Bullying is bucket dipping. When you hurt others, you dip into their buckets. You will dip into your own bucket too. You empty theirs and you empty yours. You never fill your own bucket when you dip into someone else's bucket. But guess what? When you fill someone else's bucket, you fill your own too. You feel good when you help other people feel good. All day long, we are either filling up or dipping into each other's buckets by what we say and what we do. Try to fill a bucket and see what happens. You love your mom and dad? Why not tell them you love them? You can even tell them why. Your caring words will fill their buckets. Can you think of ways other than telling your mom and dad that you love them? What are some other ways to tell, to fill your bucket or fill somebody else's bucket?
Giving people candy.
Mm-hmm. That's what you like. We'll have to remember that. Well, the book has some other ideas, and I bet you'll have some of your own too. Watch for smiles to light up people's faces. You will feel like smiling too. A smile is a good clue that you have filled a bucket. If you practice, you will become a great bucket filler. Just remember that everyone carries an invisible bucket, and think of what you can say or do to fill it. Here are some ideas. You could say hi to the bus driver, or to the garbage collector, or to anybody you're meeting along the way. They all have buckets. You can invite the new kid at school to play with you, or your new neighbor. You can write a thank you note to your teacher. You could tell your grandpa that you like spending time with him. There are many ways to fill a bucket. Bucket filling is fun and easy to do. It doesn't matter how little, how young, how old, how big you are. It doesn't cost any money, and it doesn't take much time. And remember, when you fill someone else's bucket, you are filling your own bucket too. When you're a bucket filler, you make your home, your school, your neighborhood, your church, all better places. Bucket filling makes everyone feel good. So why not decide to be a bucket filler today and every day? Just start each day by saying to yourself, I'm going to do something today to fill somebody's bucket. And at the end of each day, ask yourself, did I fill a bucket? Yes, I did. That's the life of a bucket filler, filling other people's buckets. Thank you. And you can be thinking tonight when you get home, like, I wonder whose bucket I filled today.
Our scripture this morning is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help?
Primera de Juan 3, 16, 24. En esto hemos conocido el amor, en que Él dio su vida por nosotros. Así también nosotros debemos dar nuestra vida por los hermanos. Pero ¿cómo puede evitar el amor de Dios en aquel que tiene bienes de este mundo y ve a su hermano pasar necesidad y le cierra su corazón?
Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything.
Hijitos míos, no amemos de palabra ni de lengua, sino de hecho y en verdad. Y en esto sabemos que somos de la verdad, y aseguraremos nuestro corazón delante de Él, pues si nuestro corazón nos reprende. Dios es mayor que nuestro corazón, y Él sabe todas las cosas.
Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him.
Amados, si nuestro corazón no nos reprende, confianza tenemos en Dios, y recibiremos de Él todo lo que le pidamos, porque obedecemos sus mandamientos y hacemos las cosas que le son agradables.
And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us.
Y este es su mandamiento, que creamos en el nombre de su Hijo Jesucristo y nos amemos unos a otros como Dios nos los ha mandado. El que obedece sus mandamientos permanece en Dios y Dios en él. En esto sabemos que Él permanece en nosotros por el Espíritu que Él nos ha dado.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor. Gracias a Dios.
Jennifer, here. I invite both Jennifer and Jonathan to come up. Our speakers this morning are the two members of the Mennonite Voluntary Service Unit, which is sponsored by our congregations. Jonathan Renneman has been working in the area of putting legs and feet on the Israel-Palestine resolution that was passed by MCUSA some time ago. Coordination and implementation is the fancy way to say that, but legs and feet too. Jennifer works at Church Community Services in a variety of their programs, but especially with the Food Pantry and Soup of Success. And she has been a teacher for one of the women in our congregation here. So let's pray for both of these people this morning. Loving God, we thank you for Jennifer and Jonathan. Open our ears, open our hearts to hear what you have spoken to them this day. Amen.
Good morning. A lo largo de mi vida profesional como psicóloga, he tenido el privilegio de poder servir y ayudar a las personas que más lo necesitan. Mi servicio nunca ha sido a personas que tienen poder, dinero y lujos. Al contrario, he servido a los que nadie quiere ver, a los que la sociedad esconde y a los que muchos se avergüenzan. During my professional life as a psychologist, I have had the privilege of being able to serve and help people who needed it the most. My service has never been for people who have power, money, and easy life. On the contrary, I have served those who nobody wants to see, who society hides, and who many are ashamed of. Tengo recuerdos de hace unos 7 años atrás, cuando estaba por graduarme de la universidad. Andaba en los buses de Santiago de Chile, ciudad donde nací, viajando a las poblaciones más vulnerables de mi ciudad. Tenía que aplicar test psicológicos a niños en situación de vulnerabilidad para una encuesta nacional que estaba realizando el Ministerio de Salud. Estas poblaciones, donde vivían los niños, quedaban muy lejos del centro de la ciudad, de la modernidad y de los grandes edificios del centro de Santiago. Lamentablemente, mi país es uno de los países más desiguales del mundo, y aunque a los ojos de los inmigrantes y muchos países vecinos, Chile es visto como un lugar donde existen muchas ofertas de trabajo y desarrollo, puedo decir que en un sector de la capital viven personas que tienen mucho dinero, pero también puedo decir que existen muchas personas que no lo tienen. Los barrios donde vivían los niños y a quienes yo tenía que aplicarles la encuesta eran sectores de la capital donde nadie quería ir y que yo tampoco los conocía. I have memories of about 7 years ago when I was about to graduate from university. I was on a bus in Santiago, Chile, the city where I was born, going to the most vulnerable population of my city. I had to apply psychological tests to children in vulnerable situations for a national survey that I was being carried out by the Department of Health. These vulnerable children live far from the city center, the modern life, and the large buildings of downtown Santiago. Sadly, my country has one of the highest levels of wealth inequality in the world. In the eyes of immigrants and neighboring countries, Chile is seen a place where there are many jobs and development. I can say that in the capital, there are those who have an abundance of money, but not far from them are those who experience great poverty. The neighborhood where I surveyed the children I work with were areas that no one wanted to go and had never been to either. Recuerdo que cuando me subí a uno de los buses, el chofer me preguntó cuando me subí, ¿está segura, señorita, que quiere ir para allá? ¿Acaso usted no conoce esos barrios peligrosos? Tenga mucho cuidado, no hable con nadie y diríjase rápido a su destino. Cuando me bajé del bus y empecé a caminar, me di cuenta enseguida por qué el chofer me había advertido de esa situación. Veía literalmente hombres intercambiando droga a solo pasos míos, y veía otros hombres más allá, borrachos y tirados en la calle. Debo confesar que sentí un poco de miedo, pero más que miedo sentí compasión al ver la pobreza de mi país. Y es un sentimiento que aún mantengo diariamente en mi labor. ¿Cómo puede ser que muchos tengan tanto y otros no tengan absolutamente nada? Y eso no solo en Chile, sino que en todos los países, incluso acá en Estados Unidos. I remember that when I got on one of the buses, the bus driver asked me, "Are you sure you want to go there? Do you not know how dangerous these neighborhoods are? Be careful. Do not talk to anyone and go quickly to your destination." When I got off the bus and started to walk, I realized immediately that the driver had warned me about in this situation. I saw men selling drugs just feet away and saw other men who were drunk and lying in the streets. I must confess I felt a little scared, but more than fear, I felt compassion to see the poverty of my country. And it's a feeling that I still have daily in my work here. How it can be that so many have so much and others have absolutely nothing? Because this is not only in Chile, but in all countries, even here in the United States. Muchos amigos y familia que conocen los trabajos que he tenido a lo largo de mi vida me preguntan hasta hoy, ¿cómo lo has hecho? ¿Cómo pudiste trabajar en la cárcel, en un hogar de niños, en escuelas de poblaciones vulnerables en Chile y con refugiados en Ecuador? No te entiendo. Y sí, en parte tienen razón. Ha sido difícil ver día a día el sufrimiento y la injusticia de nuestra sociedad en su mayor expresión. Pero sé que el amor de Jesús ha estado conmigo cuando he servido a los niños y adultos en Chile, a los refugiados en Ecuador y a las familias aquí en Estados Unidos. Para mí ha sido un honor y un privilegio poder servir a los que más lo necesitan, ayuda en este mundo. Y hoy día en Elkar, haciendo el programa de MBS en la organización CCS, no ha sido la excepción. Many friends and family who know the job that I have had throughout my life ask me even today, how did you do it? How could you work in jail, in a children's home, in schools of vulnerable population in Chile, and with refugees in Ecuador? I do not understand you. And yes, they are partly right. It has been difficult to me to see the suffering and injustice of our society in the greed expression every day. But I know that the love of Jesus has been with me when I have served the children and adults in Chile, the refugees in Ecuador, and the families here in the States. For me, it has been an honor and privilege to serve those who most need help in this world. Today in Elkar, working with CCS through MBS has not been exception. Cuando le conté a mis conocidos que me venía a Estados Unidos a vivir, algunos me dijeron, aprovecha que estás allá para ganar dinero, ya que muchos latinos aún tenemos el estereotipo que acá se puede realizar el sueño americano. Y la verdad, lo que menos quería yo era hacer eso. Nunca estuve en mis planes personales ni siquiera venir a vivir a este país. Pero si yo venía para acá, quería seguir sirviendo a las personas. No por ser Estados Unidos quería cambiar la perspectiva y el sentido cristiano de mi vida. Yo estudié psicología porque me interesa el otro y porque estoy convencida que para lograr cambios grandes en este mundo se necesitan hacer cambios pequeños desde las comunidades. When I told people that I was coming to the United States to live, some told me, take advantage of being there and earn money. Because many Latinos still have the stereotype that the American dream can be realized here. And the truth is that is the last thing that I want to do. It was never in my personal plans to come to live in this country. But if I came here, I want to continue serving people. I didn't want to change my perspective or the Christian meaning in my life, just because I am living in the States. I studied psychology because I am interested in the other, and because I am convinced that to make big change in this world, a small change needs to be made in the local community first. Estoy agradecida de la oportunidad que se me ha dado de poder servir en CCS a los que más lo necesitan. He aprendido mucho acerca de este nuevo contexto, así como también estoy aprendiendo poco a poco el inglés. Siempre es un desafío llegar a una cultura nueva. Todo es distinto. Lo mismo ocurrió cuando llegué a vivir al Ecuador. Pero a pesar de ser muy diferente cada contexto donde he trabajado, el sentimiento y el aprendizaje es el mismo acerca de la grandeza del ser humano. He aprendido mucho acerca de la lucha y la restauración de la dignidad de los refugiados que llegaban al Ecuador sin absolutamente nada. He aprendido acerca de la justicia cuando he defendido los derechos de los niños en los tribunales de familia de Chile. Y también he aprendido mucho acerca del sufrimiento humano, la soledad, la rabia, la impotencia y el desarraigo con todas las personas que he trabajado. Estoy convencida que donde hay sufrimiento y dolor es cuando más podemos conectarnos y conocer a Jesús. I am grateful for the opportunity that has been given here to be able to serve in CCS to those who are needy. I have learned a lot about this new context, as I have also been learning English little by little. It is always a challenge to live in a new culture. Even everything is different. The same thing happened when I went to live in Ecuador. But despite being very different in every context where I have worked, the feeling and learning is the same about the greatness of humanity. I have learned a lot about the struggle and restoration of the dignity of the refugees who arrive in Ecuador without absolutely anything. I have learned about justice when I have defended the rights of children in the family court of Chile. And I also have learned a lot about human suffering, loneliness, anger, impotence, and uprooting of all these people I've worked with. I am convinced that we are most able to connect with Jesus in the presence of suffering and pain. En CCS Elcar he aprendido que ayudar a cubrir una necesidad básica del ser humano, como es el hambre, es colaborar en la restauración de la dignidad humana. Y no solo eso, sino que cada vez que sirvo al otro, el otro también está sirviéndome. Es un acto horizontal y es el tipo de servicio que ejercía Jesús. El que muchas veces es excluido y discriminado en esta sociedad es el que muestra y me enseña lo que es el amor, la confianza y la amistad. At CCS, I have learned that helping to cover a basic need of people, like hunger, is to collaborate in the restoration of human dignity. And not only that, but every time I serve the other is also serving me. It's a horizontal act, and it is the kind of service that Jesus preached. The one is often excluded and discriminated against in the society is the one who shows and teach me what love, trust, and friendship are. Al servir a los demás, me he dado cuenta que el ser humano es grandioso de por sí, por su capacidad de amar, de reinventarse, de comenzar desde cero, de confiar y de ser resiliente es increíble. ¿Cuántas veces las personas que llegan diariamente al food pantry han sido heridas y violentadas a lo largo de sus vidas? Pero ¿cómo a pesar de eso pueden sonreírme cuando las registro en el computador para buscar comida? ¿Cómo a pesar de sus problemas e inseguridades no me discriminan por ser latina y no se ríen de mí cuando pronuncio mal el inglés? Más bien me dicen que estoy haciendo mi mejor esfuerzo. Tengo que decir que los abrazos más sinceros y de gratitud que he recibido en este país han sido de las mujeres que ayudo en las clases de computación del programa de Soup of Success de CCS. Y lo increíble es que no solo les he enseñado computación, ellas también me han enseñado inglés al mismo tiempo. Además, cada vez que las mujeres nos relatan sus traumas y hablan de su sufrimiento en los talleres de Soup of Success, me enorgullezco de ellas porque a pesar de estar tan desilusionadas del ser humano, sacan fuerzas para poder una vez más aprender a confiar en nosotras. En resumen, he aprendido más acerca del amor de Dios que habla primera de Juan 3, 16, 18. In serving others, I have realized that human beings are great. Their ability to love, to reinvent themselves, to start from scratch, to trust, and to be resilient is incredible. Oftentimes, people who arrive daily at the food pantry have been wounded and violent throughout their life. But they still smile when I register them on the computer to look for food. In spite of their problems and insecurity, they do not discriminate against me for being Latina, and they do not laugh at me when I pronounce English poorly. Rather, they tell me that I am doing my best. I have to say that the most sincere and grateful hugs I have received in this country have been from the women I help in the computer class in Soup of Success. And the incredible thing is that I have not only taught them computers, they have also taught me English at the same time. In addition, every time women tell us of their traumas and talk about their suffering in the workshops of Soup of Success, I take pride in them because despite being so disillusioned with humanity, they draw strength to be able to learn and trust in us. In summary, I have learned more about the love of God spoken in 1 John 3, 16 to 18. Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer. And I am not going to be able to give my part of the sermon in English and Spanish, only in English. I'm sorry, and thank you, Prairie Street, and thanks to those that do the translation. That's a great, great gift. As I was preparing for what I would say this morning, I just felt this need to just offer words of gratitude. And then something told me, no, that doesn't count as a real sermon. You can't do that. And I investigated that a little bit. Where do I get this idea that we can't just offer gratitude and be grateful as a form of teaching or as a form of sermon? If the Holy Spirit is leading me to offer those words, who am I to say that's illegitimate? So here we go this morning. Thank you. Thank you for your service to the church, to us as MVSers, and to the broader Elkhart community through the MVS program. 2 years ago, Andre Gingrich Stoner approached me with the idea of co-creating a position to coordinate education about Israel-Palestine to the Mennonite Church. And I was very excited about the idea. And he said, the church can only afford really to hire you for about half a day a week. But thanks to the MVS program, I was able to volunteer for them full time. And it's really hard to express the difference between being able to commit 4 hours to something and 40 hours to something in a week. One example, though, is in the writing of the resolution. I assisted the writing team in collecting feedback on early drafts. I solicited feedback, distilled it, and presented it to the writing team. We incorporated feedback from a 10-person reference committee, over a dozen Israeli and Palestinian peace partners, and over 60 people from MCUSA through public feedback. This was a time-intensive process and would definitely not have been possible if I was only working 4 hours a week. But it resulted in a deep and thoughtful statement. And we were also able to provide delegates with informational packets about the resolution before the convention so that they knew what they would be voting on ahead of time. At one point, a pastor, Leslie Francisco, suggested it would be helpful for his congregants if there was a video introducing the resolution. Andre said, sure, we can do that, and then turned to me. But that responsiveness was only possible because he knew I would have time to see that project through. And we were able to produce a video that explained the resolution, highlighting leaders of color and their experience being in Israel-Palestine and their analysis on the resolution. And given the well-crafted document and the broad education, as you know, the resolution passed with 98% approval. And in my second year with MVS, as Carolyn mentioned, I'm helping put legs and feet onto the resolution. What I want to focus on is that in a time of deep division, mistrust, and cynicism, even within the Mennonite Church, when there are critics claiming that we are incapable of having difficult conversations or making and implementing strong decisions, we were able to nearly unanimously pass a resolution about Israel-Palestine, one of the most contentious, controversial areas of the world. And the resolution reflects our deeply held beliefs. And we have the fortitude to implement the commitments of that resolution. And this was only possible because we could take the time to listen deeply. And MCUSA could only provide that time thanks to the MVS program. because it takes time to have difficult conversations. And so I want to thank you for your service to the church by providing MCUSA the time to have this conversation. Because I'd be working on Israel-Palestine if I was with MVS or not. But the fact that I was able to do this full-time, it provided the space for the church as a whole to have this conversation and to do this well. And I also need to thank you for myself for the opportunity to do this work. Over the past 2 years, I've had my dream job of getting to share my vision for peace and justice in Palestine, Israel, within my networks, with my home congregation. And it's a vision of peace and justice that's deeply rooted in an Anabaptist vision. And getting to put, you know, my Anabaptist background and teaching and my Palestinian background and teaching together has really been a dream come true. And in this work, I've gotten to work with folks from other denominations that are trying to raise this issue there. None of them have gotten to do their work full time. None of them have gotten the kind of backing from their denomination and from local congregations that I have. So thank you. Personally, thank you. For creating the space for me to pursue my calling full time. And in Jennifer's words, I heard a similar gratitude to you all for that as well. Finally, thank you for your service to the broader Elkhart community. I hardly noticed this until I reflected, but I have never been as involved in my community as I have living here in Elkhart. I've started attending city council meetings. That is something totally new for me. Because I wanted to hear about what was going on with the Tolson Center and to make sure that the city continued funding the after-school center in our neighborhood. And I joined the Sanctuary Coalition. I even co-led with my fiancée, Sarah Thompson, a nonviolence training for other organizers in the area, wanting to ensure that our undocumented neighbors knew that they were welcome in our neighborhoods. And, of course, celebrated when the building of the for-profit detention center was thwarted by the work of so many people across our communities. And I've gotten to know my neighbors very well, living with Jason and Nicole, two former MVSers. I've seen how deeply they have committed themselves to this place, and it has rapidly helped me connect deeply with this community as well. Whether it's explicit or implicit, there's something about the MVS program, and particularly the Elkhart MVS program, that pushes us towards engaging our neighborhood. So thank you for your service to the broader Elkhart community through the MVS program. And I know this year has been an unusual MVS configuration, and that you might not always see the fruits of the work that you put into MVS, but I want you to know they are there. You are supporting the church, the spiritual growth of young Mennonites, and this community. Thank you. Thank you for showing your love for the church, for us, and for the community, not only in words and speech, but in truth and action. Amen.
So let's continue expressions of gratitude. I will offer some words of recognition, and then at intervals we'll ask you for your response, and it's printed in the bulletin. For your gift of service, we thank you. If you have served as a volunteer in MVS, would you please stand? And it's okay to look around. Receive our gratitude for giving yourselves to Mennonite voluntary service, to local agencies, to neighborhoods, to Prairie Street Mennonite Church, and to Fellowship of Hope. But most of all, we are so grateful for the ways that we have been witnesses as you have joined the work of God in our community. For your gift of service, join me. For your gift of service, we thank you. And you can sit down. If you have served on the MVS Support Committee, please stand. Again, look around. Receive our gratitude for being the hands and feet of Prairie Street and Fellowship of Hope. It is your service that brings Elkhart MVS to life. You have given yourselves, your time, your energy, your love, and your care to support the program, and more importantly, to support the beautiful and beloved VSers that make up the program. For your gift of service, we thank you. If you have served as a mentor to an MVSer, please stand. Here you go. For your willingness to be in relationship with a particular MVSer, we're so grateful. For being friends and mentors, for all the ways that you accompanied a VSer, receive our gratitude. For your gift of service, we thank you. If you have served meals to MVSers, please stand. Thank you for opening your homes and extending your tables, offering welcome and hospitality to the volunteers in our community. For your gift of service, we thank you. If you have prayed for the volunteers and for the MVS program, please stand. Your prayers have made all of this possible. Your prayers have held Elkhart MVS close to the heart of God. It is the prayers of this community that have kept us all seeking the face of God as we have served together. For your service, for our service, we thank you.